Let's talk about some of the financial mistakes that we see people make in the midst of a divorce. That's going to be the conversation here on this week's podcast of Retirement Elevated with Sean Lee. Some divorce mistakes coming up.
Let us help you reach your peak in retirement. It's time for Retirement Elevated with Sean Lee.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into the podcast. Thanks for hanging out with Sean and myself as we talk investing, finance, and retirement, and a few things to think about should you find yourself in the unfortunate place of going through a divorce. I guess unfortunate or fortunate, depending on your viewpoint. If you're really unhappy, maybe it's fortunate. You know, if you kind of caught off guard, maybe unfortunate. So either way, some financial things we certainly want to make sure we are aware of and thinking about if we happen to be going through this. And as always, if you need some help, reach out to Sean and his team at ElevateMyRetirement.com. That's ElevateMyRetirement.com. What's going on, my friend? How are you this week?
Doing well, man. I'm doing well.
Good, good, good to hear that. We are at end of March, so hopefully, spring is upon us. The time change has happened, and it's getting a little lighter outside each day. So hopefully spring is trying to sprung.
Yeah, winter is rough for me.
Yeah, I know. We talked about that. Yeah, so I'm sure you're looking forward to it. Plus, it gives you more, we probably shouldn't say it every single episode, but it gives you more time for that thing you do.
Well, and I'm coaching at the high school this year. So.
Oh, there you go. Nice.
Yeah, so I've come on to the school my son goes to. I'm one of the assistant coaches. And so that's been a fun, interesting experience.
Nice. Very cool. Very cool.
High school baseball in Utah in the spring is a
good
stuff. Don't know if it's going to be sunny one day or snow the next.
True. That's very true. I'm sure. Yeah. Well, that's a good experience for you. Unfortunately, our topic today, not so much, but let's talk about it anyway because it's important. So let's look at a few of the big ticket items possibly that could come down the front here with divorce mistakes. We'll start with the house. Choosing the house over other financial assets, kind of easy. Sometimes we kind of look at it and go, well, I'll take the house and that's all I want, right? Because it's the biggest thing we own, so on and so forth, money factors, raise the kids here, whatever. But that may not necessarily be the smartest financial move.
Well, think about what it takes to have a home, right? Like you have all the upkeep, all the expenses, maybe a mortgage, you have insurance, you have, utility bills, all of that stuff, the yard maintenance, everything that comes with owning a home. And yes, the home is usually one of the largest assets.
And it does appreciate, but not like a retirement account could be, right?
Well, yeah. How do you create income out of your home outside of just doing a reverse mortgage?
Right.
Or you rent it out.
Right.
And so looking at the home kind of as a dead asset, yeah, it's great. I mean, you have a place
to have a place to live. Right, exactly.
But having some liquidity also may be beneficial when it comes to deciding how assets are divvied out. And in a lot of cases, if it's dual income household, one of the spouses keeps the home and mm-hmm. they're just not financially able to keep the home, it causes a stressor on their life financially, emotionally, and when they're already going through an emotional time.
Yeah, definitely. And so you're thinking about, again, it's an easy kind of, it's a big giant target. I mean, literally, like it's a physically big target to think about. And you go, well, I want the house. So just be careful in versus waving off any other potential financial assets. And speaking of those assets, Sean, number two, don't ignore the tax implications of retirement funds. So if you're talking about some retirement accounts, let's think about that too.
Well, I mean, think about the three buckets of tax money, right? You've got taxable money, which is you've already paid taxes on it,
mm-hmm.
or maybe there's capital gains where the taxation is going to be lower. You've got the tax deferred, which is all your retirement accounts.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the tax-free bucket, which is money comes out tax-free. And so looking at those assets and breaking them out strategically makes a lot of sense because the dollars may be the same. So you may get $200,000 in IRA money. Well, what if your spouse gets $200,000 or ex-spouse gets $200,000 in Roth money or after-tax money?
Different, yeah.
Well, they're better off from a tax perspective because at the end of the day, you probably are only walking away after taxes with $150,000.
Yeah, because that $200,000 you took in the IRA, you got that Uncle Sam partner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good point, right? So, so you could say, well, you take this account, I'll take that account. So, fine. Again, on the surface, it seems like, especially if the numbers matched, but don't forget about those tax implications. So great point there. What about rolling a spouse's retirement account directly into an IRA immediately after a divorce? What's going on here? Something called a quadro. Could you kind of dive into that?
Yeah, it's a qualified domestic relations order, and it's how assets are split out during a divorce. Now, when you do that, you actually have an opportunity to one time take money out without the 10% penalty inside of the 401k. So, you know, and that could cover, you know, whatever it may be, additional housing expenses or attorney fees, or, you know, maybe you had to go out and buy some furniture because you're in a new place, you know, whatever. Those costs mm-hmm. are, you can do that one time through the quadro. But if you roll assets into an IRA immediately, you run the risk then if you need money down the road and you're under 59 and a half, you're going to have to pay that 10% early withdrawal penalty.
Gotcha. Okay. So you do have the one-time option, though.
Right. It saves you, you know, 10%,
which could be hefty.
Yeah.
And that's got to be, obviously, that's being issued by, you know, the judge or whatever through the process, right? That order, that qualified domestic relations order, is being issued by the courts.
So, right.
Okay. Gotcha. All right. So, and then, of course, obviously, we'll just kind of do the low-hanging fruit, but still, it's going to be a big ticket item. Is your emotions. Like, do not allow your emotions to cloud your decision-making. Again, whether you're super happy about this process and you're just like, you know, whatever, and you're just kind of free, you're trying to keep it amicable, which is always good, or whether you're, I just want it over with, I don't care, whatever happens, happens, or whether you're super angry, right? Either way, just don't allow your emotions to get in the way of decision making to try to get, you know, things done effectively. You know, I can see many people that just kind of get caught off guard and they say, you know what? Fine, I don't care. Just get me out of it. I just want to be done, you know. Or if you're really frustrated and tired and just want the marriage to be over, you may be thinking that same thing. Just, I don't care. They can have it all. Just get me gone. Just be smart about it, right?
Right. Like, you know, emotions you're going to have, and I'm a child of a divorce family, and you know, there's emotions.
So many of us are. Yeah, me too.
Mm-hmm. Run all over the board, right? There's joy. There's anger. There's, you know, sadness. You know, there's frustration, there's all sorts of things. But when we talk about planning, that's hard to separate the emotions from the logic and the facts. And usually what I found is that in any aspect where we're super emotional, taking a step back mm-hmm. and disengaging from it for a little bit is really beneficial. And then it helps you create, you know, some clarity in your mind of what is really in your best interest and what isn't.
Especially over the long haul, right? Because again, often we're looking for the path of least resistance, you know.
Right, or you've got dual emotions that are fighting for the same thing, and then you eventually just give up.
Mm, yeah.
But at the end of the day, you know, having clarity and an understanding of what you need or what's in your best interest financially long term, is going to help you to make some of those emotional decisions because you have all the facts behind you to make decisions.
Very true. You know, we didn't really talk about some of the super obvious things like kids and whatnot, because really with what you guys do in your demographic, Sean, and plus the numbers right now, gray divorces, people over 50 are actually outpacing other divorces, right? So, and if you're over 50, more than likely the kids are grown, things of that nature. So it's not really so much about, like, you know, the alimony or child support and things of that nature, especially for, you know, pre-retirees or even retirees. Crazy enough as it sounds, though, people in their 70s getting divorced, right?
So, well, and that's the wild thing. I mean, you look at, you know, you build this plan to go off into retirement together, and then life happens, life changes.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden it's like, well, we had all these assets. We don't really want to spend time together anymore, whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Okay, now how do we kind of separate? Because if you're getting divorced in your 60s or 70s, you've probably been married 40-ish years.
Maybe 20 to 40, yeah.
Yeah, so how do you unwind all of that? And that takes some thought. It takes some careful planning. And it takes understanding.
Yeah.
You know, when you take one plan and turn it into two, you have to be able to understand how that's going to affect you.
Actually, that gives me a final question for you. If people are going through a divorce, and even if, let's just assume it's amicable, how does it work for an advisor such as yourself? Let's say if a couple comes in and says, yeah, we're splitting, is there an ethical conundrum? Can you still serve both separately, or is it best to move for one person to move to a different advisor? What's that look like?
So I've seen it happen a number of ways. Mm-hmm. If the relationship is good with the advisor or the advisory firm,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have, you know, fiduciary responsibility to the family unit, but we also have fiduciary responsibility to the individuals.
Right.
So if the individuals choose that they want to individually continue to work with an advisor, then it's usually brought all full circle where the advisor works with them, separates the plan out into two different plans, helps with the assets for both sides as kind of a consultant, as far as, you know, this is what you need to make the plan work,
right,
et cetera. You know, helping with kind of the way we talked about here, you know, what tax coding do we break out for each individual, and really make it equitable for both sides. I've also seen it to where one of the spouses does not get along with our advisor, or our advisor just doesn't like how one of the spouses carries themselves, or they're a jerk, or whatever it may be.
Right, right.
So then we separate from that individual and we just work with the one.
Gotcha. And so, I mean, it's all going to be obviously just like anything with human relations, you know, specific to the unique situation, right? So every situation is going to be a little different. Well, okay, I'm choosing to take my, you know, we got it separated, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to go work with a different firm just because that makes me feel better to be someplace else. Great. That's fine. But just know your options, right? And just talk with your advisor as well, especially if you are going through this stuff. So not pleasant, but it does happen. And of course, the statistics show it happens more and more all the time. So if you're going through a divorce or about to be, make sure you're consulting with your qualified professional. And of course, if you need one or need some questions answered, reach out to Sean and his team at elevatemyretirement.com. That's elevatemyretirement.com. And don't forget to click on the links for checking out the podcast and subscribing to that on whatever platform you like to use. And you can find that under the resources tab. So if you just go to the resources there, you'll see podcasts, and that'll pop right up there for you. And you can listen to episodes right from the site. Of course, you can also just click listen now and go to various resources, whatever that might be. Find us on Apple and Spotify and Google and subscribe to us that way. Or again, just check it all out at Sean's website, elevatemyretirement.com. Sean, thanks for hanging out and touching on this subject for me. I appreciate it. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Sounds good. Thanks, man. Talk to you soon.
Always appreciate your time, my friend, right here on Retirement Elevated with Sean Lee.
Investment advisory services offered through Elevated Capital Advisors, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor.